If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn to the book of John, chapter 10. John chapter 10. Before we begin our message this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for causing us to be here this morning, Lord. We know, Lord, that you're absolute sovereign in providence, salvation, and redemption. Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with us this morning, Lord. I pray, God, that you'll send your spirit to us, Lord. For we can do nothing without you, Lord. We love you and we praise you, Lord. And we give you thanks for all things, Lord, for we know that all things in this world belongs to you, Lord. We know, Lord, that you're also sovereign in providence, Lord, and we thank you, Lord. We pray, God, that you'll send your spirit and open up our eyes and our hearts, Lord, to what you have for us to hear from you this morning, Lord. We are here to worship you and to praise you for the great and the mighty God that you are. We love you, Lord, and we give you thanks for all things, Lord, for we know that all things work together to the good, but only to them that love you, Lord, to them that are the call according to your purpose, Lord. Be with us as we give this message, Lord. For in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we do pray. Amen. We're going to begin our lesson. It's in chapter 10 of the book of John. But as most of us knows, the Bible wasn't written in chapters and verses. So we're going to back up a little bit and look at chapter 9 just for a few minutes. And it will help us to understand where the Lord is teaching from here in chapter 10. In the first verse of chapter 9, Jesus heals a man that was born blind. It says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from the birth." That stirred the people up, and they got excited about it, and they went and they told the religious leaders of that day, the Pharisees, what had happened, and it caused a division among the people. The true gospel of Jesus Christ often causes a division among the people. There'll be two kinds of people. One kind will believe the message, and one will not accept the message. But salvation is by the Lord. It is by His grace and His mercy and His love. It is by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. But it says here in verse 16 of that chapter, it says, "Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. And then others said, well, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" And as I said, there was a division among them. And then over in verse 28, they went to this man and they talked to him and they asked him, how did it happen? He said, "I don't know how it happened. I was blind from birth. And this man caused me to see." And then they went to his parents, and his parents said, "Well, he is a man. Go to him and ask him. Ask him what happened." And the man sort of got irritated because they come to him twice there, you know. But anyways, but talking about the Pharisees, it says they revile him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We do not know that God unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from where he is." And this man that had been born from blind, since he was born blind, he couldn't understand why these religious men didn't know him. The man answered and said unto them, "Why herein is a marvelous thing that you know not where he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes? Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." And they answered and said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and doest not thou teach us?" And they cast him out. What it was, here this beggar was, here this man that was born blind was, he was He was teaching the Pharisees, the elite leaders, the religious leaders, the shepherds that were supposed to be taking care of Israel, you know. And they resented that, and they cast him out. And right here where they say they cast him out, and they not only threw him out of the church or the synagogue, but they excommunicated him. And it says here, and when Jesus heard about this, what they didn't know at the time was that the blind man was one of his sheep. And it says here, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? The blind man's faith kept growing, because he learned more and more about this man that had given him sight. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and he is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? And listen to what Jesus said unto him. He said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now we say we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. And that's what brought this discourse on here. It was this parable that Jesus gave to him here in chapter 10. In first verse, Jesus says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that entereth not by the door to the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. As I said before, these Pharisees, they set themselves up as shepherds of the flock and the guides of the people. And the Lord is calling these Pharisees thieves and robbers. They were not sent from God. They set themselves up. And as we all know, the only door of redemption is by obedience and blood. But they come another way. They came by works, and they come by ceremony. And they come by self-righteousness. If you will, turn to Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Paul had a great love for his people. Chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. And he knew who these Pharisees was. He says, Brethren, in chapter 10, he says, Brethren, my heart desire and pray to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but they not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and doeth about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to every one that believeth. And then at this point here, go back to John 10. At this point here, Jesus begins his lengthy discourse on himself as a shepherd of the sheep. One that cares for their sheep, and one that is a saver of their sheep. As I said before here, it says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth not by the door, entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The Lord Jesus uses the illustration here to the people at that time, the way that they cared for their sheep. They had a sheepfold. What it was a fence, a building that was owned by the community, and it had high walls, and it only had one door. And the shepherds of a community, they would go out through the day, and they would feed their sheep and everything. When the evening come, they would come to the sheepfold or the sheep pen. And the porter would open the door, and they would let their sheep in. And the thing to know right here is that there was only one door. And the gatekeeper would stay there, and he would watch over them during the night. But their Lord here in this first verse, he calls these Pharisees thieves and robbers. They were not true shepherds of God's people. They were righteous. They were false teachers. They were not of God. There is only one gospel. And that gospel is Jesus Christ, and there's only one shepherd, and that shepherd is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that cares for his sheep. And his sheep are the ones that God elected for the foundation of the world, placed in him. says here that God's word in Galatians chapter 1, it says, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. According to speaking of false teachers here, it goes on to say in Galatians, it goes on to say that any man that preach any other gospel unto you than what you have received, let him be accursed. As I said, there is only one gospel, and there is a warning out there by God to preachers and pastors and teachers that preach something that is other than the whole truthful word of God. He says in Jeremiah 23, verse 1 and 2, he says, woe be unto pastors that deliver and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, listen to what the Lord says, I will visit you upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. In verse 1 through 4, Jesus here is the only true and the great shepherd of the sheep. He is the elect of God. He comes by divine communication and by divine authority. Let's read verses 1 through 4 again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up another way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that enter in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter open, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. He is the prophet, the priest, and the king. He comes through the door of elected grace, atonement, and sacrifice. He fulfills all righteousness. Look at Romans 3, if you would, for a minute, verse 25. Romans 3, 25 and 26. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and a justifier of him which believeth in Jesus Christ. Christ knows the believer, and the believer knows him. We know his voice. They hear his voice through the word. That's how we know his voice. And he opens up our hearts to where that we believe it. And we are made to hear his voice by the effectual work of the Spirit, but it lives within our hearts. We are in him, and he is in us. He is precious, and we love him. And he has led us out of false religion, false teaching, and out of captivity. As his word says, the Son shall make you free, and you shall be free indeed. Back to John 10, verse 4 says, and when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. They follow him and they know his voice. He goes before them. He don't go behind them. He goes before them. He protects us. He watches over us. And he gives us inner peace. And then verse 5, it says, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. As someone that was in religion for 28 years, and God led me to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. He led me to Kingsport, and I thank God for that. But for being here for 6 to 7 years, I truly know the difference between the true voice of the shepherd and a stranger. And in the illustration of that, about knowing a stranger, my mother-in-law has a dog, a little Dutch hound. She's had it for about 6 or 7 years, and that dog is very faithful to her. If she's sitting on the couch, that dog is right beside her. If she goes out and sits on the porch, that dog follows her. If she goes into the kitchen, that dog follows her. Wherever she goes, that dog follows her. And that's what we do, and that's what the precious Lamb of God does for us. A dog is very timid. If an electric storm comes and it hears thunder, it scares it to death, and it'll jump right up on her lap. And she'll take it and hold it and pet it and take care of it. That's what the Lord does for his sheep. He always has, and he always will. He said, I have led thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I grown thee. And I thank God for that. If you will, go back to John 10, verse 6. And it says here in verse 6, and this is very easy to understand right here. This parable spoke Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things that were which that he spoke unto them. Why didn't they understand? Because they were not of his sheep. You know, the only reason that we understand the Word of God, the true Word of God, is because his Spirit has come to us and opened up our hearts and our eyes. Salvation is of the Lord. And I thank God for that. In verses 7, 8, and 9, it says, But then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily. It's a very strong statement when he says, Verily, verily. It's a truth. It's a very truth. I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. He is not only the shepherd who leads and protects his people, but he is the door, and he is the only door. I would like to read a few scriptures right here concerning Jesus Christ as being the only door into the shepherd. And there is no other way. You know, I heard a movie star say one time, oh, there's many ways to God. I don't know what book she was using, but it wasn't the Holy Bible. But it says here in Acts 4:12, and we're very familiar with this, and this is absolute truth. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And then I love that verse in John 14, verse 6, where Jesus said unto him, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way, meaning he is the only way. He is the truth, and he is the life. The Bible says over in the book of John, he that believeth on the Son hath life, and he that believeth not hath not life. I thank God for that. And then it says here in 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And then in 1 Timothy 2:5, it says there are only one mediator. Oh, wouldn't it be a terrible thing to stand before God in the presence of God by yourself without a mediator? But it says that there is one mediator, and that one mediator between God and man is the man, Christ Jesus, and there is no other. He is both the shepherd who leads and guides, and he is also the door. He provides a way of redemption and a way into fellowship with God the Father, and it is all by Christ. In Christ, through Christ, and with Christ, that his sheep are accepted. His blood sacrifice is our justification. His atonement for sin, his atonement for sin, is our ability to be with the Father. His grace is our salvation. His eternal love is our hope and our security. Plus, we have his everlasting mercy. And then in verse 10 and 11, it says, A thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And you know, there's plenty of those in today's world, aren't they? There are so many there that are in religion just for their own good and not for the good of the sheep of the people. But first, right in verse 10 and 11, he says, The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He says here in verse in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, and listen to this. You know, Christ is in the Father, and the Father is in Christ, and his sheep are in Christ. When you think about that, it's hard to enter into. But it says here that we may have life more abundantly. It says in Colossians 2, chapter 10, For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. And we, who are we? The sheep, the elected of God, are in him. And I thank God for that. And it says that we are complete in him. And Christ Jesus is ahead of all principality and power. Even in Ephesians 1:3, the Word of God says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus." The Bible says, "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither there in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for his sheep, for his people." We cannot even comprehend what is in store for us. But he is the good shepherd. In verse 11 it says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep." As I said before, his blood sacrifice is our justification. His sacrifice for sin is our atonement. His grace is our salvation. His eternal love is our security. And I thank God for that. In verse 12 and 13, it says, "But he that is a harlot and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf cometh and leaveth his sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The harlot fleeth because he is a harlot, and careth not for the sheep." The harlot here is a symbol of the Jewish religious leaders and all the false shepherds who was in it just for the money and for the prestige and for the glory and for themselves and for self-righteousness. It says here in verse 14 and 15, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I the Father, and I lay down my sheep, my life for my sheep." The word here signifies love. You know, you could take this word right here where it says of a father love know of his sheep, you could use the word love. And then where it says, "Every sheep I have that are not of this fold." That's speaking of Gentiles. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile, regardless of what country you're from, what nationality you are, or what color you are. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. And it says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be" what? One fold, and one shepherd. And I thank God for that. In verse 17 and 18 right here, beginning in verse 17, it says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again." He laid it down. Nobody didn't take it away from him. His perfect obedience is our righteousness. "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." He spoke of laying down his life and taking it again by his own power. And why could he do this? Why could Christ Jesus do this? Christ Jesus the Lord, Christ Jesus the Good Shepherd, because he is God. That's why he was able to do it. The Father loved the Lord Jesus because of his willingness to die and rise again in order that the sheep might be saved. You know, God the Father has always loved the Lord, his only begotten Son, before the beginning of the foundation of the world. But what he's talking about right here, the Father loved him because he was a servant. He was obedient unto him, and he fulfilled the work that he sent him to do. Verse 18, Acts 2:23 says, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." You know, a lot of people think that it was the Romans, and he thinks that it was the Pharisees, an evil man that placed Christ Jesus on that cross. But it was God the Father that put him there as a sacrifice for his bride, for his people. In John 19:30, said, when Jesus, after he had been there, he'd done everything that he had been commanded to do. He had finished the work. It says in John 19:30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. And he said he also had the power to take it up and to lay it down. In John 2:19, he was speaking to the Pharisees. Jesus said, he said unto them, destroy this temple and I will raise it up again in 3 days. They didn't realize, they thought he was talking about the building. They didn't realize he was talking about his person, about him. And he did, he raised it up in 3 days. As our shepherd, in Hebrews 13:5, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then in verse 27 through 30, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Oh, it's such absolute truth. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He loves us in spite of ourselves. My Father which giveth me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We are in the Father, and the Father is in Christ, and Christ is in the Father. And I thank him for that. You know, Christ Jesus is our shepherd. Christ Jesus is our good shepherd. Christ Jesus is our great shepherd. Christ Jesus, him and him only. He is our chief shepherd. And I thank him for that. You're dismissed.